Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to start reading at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously, every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels unto Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and be cooled and cool my tongue. And I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between you and there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would be passed from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father, send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they cannot unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one who rose from the dead. I ask for a blessing on the word today, and myself praise as well.
And praise be to God.
Praise be to God. I said this here. I originally, this was called the saddest story ever told. Depending on your view of this, this is one of the saddest stories ever told in the Bible. Here we have two men, polar opposites of each other. One on the outside looks great. Looks like he's a very successful man. But when he died, we found out his success meant nothing. Then we had another man who on the surface looked very unsuccessful. But this man died with Christ. This man died believing in God and went to heaven forever, ever, paradise. Completely polar opposites. So this was titled the saddest story they're ever told. Because there's nothing worse than dying without Christ. For eternity, you're going to be in hellfire. It never goes away. For eternity. Now, a few things here from the rich man, if we can pay attention. The rich man died, and what did he want to do? He still wanted to have control over the situation. Look what he did. Now, I've heard this preached many times, and we've heard it said, that he looked over, but the text says in the King James Version, he looked up. He looked up over a great gulf. He's still trying to tell Abraham what to do. He's still trying to make Lazarus. He's still trying to be bossy over Lazarus. Even in hellfire, he's trying to do this. So the saddest thing that we could possibly do is to die without Christ. Something else I noticed from this test, just think about it. We're going to be in our thoughts. This rich man still has his thoughts about him. He's still in anguish. He's still feeling pain. He still has everything. Now, I want you to just think for a hot second without getting too emotional here. Because I know in my family, I have people that's probably died without Christ. They're going to be in hellfire. They are in hellfire for eternity. And there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. You still got your thoughts in amongst you. You're in hell, and you just start thinking, I thought I was too smart for this. I didn't believe. I went to church. I laughed at those church people. I got a master's degree, a doctrine, I'm a doctorate in medical degree. I was rich. I had thousands and thousands of herd cattle. Key word in all this is had. Your education means nothing if you die without Christ. So now you're in hellfire, and you're in your own thoughts. And your own thoughts is reminding every time you went to church and you didn't accept Christ. Your own thoughts is reminding you, oh, I was too cool for Christ. All my friends didn't do it, so I didn't want to do it. I thought it was hogwash, a bunch of nonsense. How could a Bible that's written through all these people through 6,000 something years, I'm not going to believe that. But we know there's people right now that was their thought process. They didn't believe in the Word of God, and they died of hellfire. And that's the saddest story ever told. The key verse that sticks out, the key phrase that sticks out in my head in this is they have the Moses and they have the prophets. Now, I don't know if I've said it here before, but I have said it. The Bible was never really called the Bible. That's a modern term. Back in this time it was written, the scriptures was called the law and the prophets. So he's saying they have the law and they have the prophets. They have the scriptures. So if they don't understand the scriptures like we do, we have the Bible today. And if we don't believe in the Bible, if we're not going to listen to it, I don't believe that's anybody present here. You know what I'm saying? But if they don't believe it, because it's hogwash, they're going to go die in hellfire. And they're going to have their thoughts about it. Something else that stands out, this guy says this. Let me send somebody. I want to send somebody to them from hell. If we send somebody from the grave, then they're going to believe it. What does it make you think of? It made me think of Jesus. Jesus rose out that tomb, but there's people right now that think that's nonsense. I didn't believe that whatsoever. That did not happen. That's nonsense. The scripture says, even if somebody comes back from the grave, they're not going to believe them. Because they didn't believe the law and the prophets. They didn't understand that the law and the prophets always pointed to Jesus. Always. Numbers 21 says this, that they were all bitten by snakes, serpents. What happened? God told Moses, make a cross. In my mind, it's a cross, a symbol of a snake. Anybody who looks at this is going to be saved. That's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. That's a type of Christ. We see anyone who clings to the cross is going to be saved. They see in Genesis 24, Isaac and Rebekah, and the Holy Spirit. They understand Isaiah. They had Isaiah the prophets. Isaiah lived with a widow. And a widow fed him and drank him and gave him water when nobody else had any water. And their oil never went away. Their flour never went away. Well, that's the water of life. That's the bread of life. That was from the law and the prophets. All points to Jesus. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. 100%. There's a big gulf in between us. So at this stage, he can see Lazarus in heaven, in Abraham's bosom. He can see that himself. Not only does he get his thoughts, he sees the man who he walked by his gate every single day begging, and he didn't help him, and he could have. He gets to see him in heaven with his rewards. Think about it. He's still in his thoughts, still in his thought process. Hell never goes away. The Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in hell. They don't like this passage. They say this passage is a parable, but what makes this story different from the parables is names. There's names. They don't say the rich man's name. Lazarus has a name. This is an actual event that happened that Jesus is saying. In my Bible, it's written in red. This is an actual event that happened, not a parable. I think it's written mostly for us, so we know. Hell doesn't expire. It's forever. So is heaven. Forever. I've said almost every single time I've stepped up here, you're going to make a decision, and not making a decision is making a decision. You made a decision towards Christ, great. If you said, I'm going to think about it, your decision is no. If we get out of here and a deer decides to jump through your windshield, your decision is still no. Just like breaking one commandment is breaking all of them. You get a perfect score or you fail. I didn't really realize that till now. I went to air mobility operational course, and that's how they were loading those airplanes. You load it perfectly or you failed. Yeah. Because some of the facilities, some of the airplanes could only be loaded a certain way. And the best way that I can say it, depending on what side of the room, see the squares on the side of the room, the rectangles if they are? Those are what's called pallet positions. Every airplane and every pallet position has a different regulation. So some planes, this might be the spot to put the heaviest piece of equipment. The next one might be the weakest. And if they're a completely different plane, it might be different. So when you loaded that plane, it had to be loaded a certain way. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I apologize. Yeah. Air mobility operation course. I almost forgot I went to that course. It's crazy. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I pray thee, therefore, Father. Praying don't work when you're in hell. It's too late. I got some Catholic friends that don't like this either, because they believe they can pray for their ancestors to get them out of hell. Don't know where they got that from. Supposedly in their Bible somewhere. But right here it says, doesn't happen. Praying does not work when you're in hell. Doesn't matter. Because I believe when you die, heaven or hell, you're going to choose one. Say you're in heaven, say we all are. I look around, I believe we're all going to be in heaven. We're in heaven. I think we're going to get a little full knowledge. Now I think of the poor soul that went to hell. They also got full knowledge. Because what they thought were nonsense, they know immediately. Immediately they know where they're going. And if they know there's a hell because they're there, they're also going to know there's a heaven. Immediately. Moses and the prophets, and you didn't hear them. I know people from the other church there knew him. There's a young guy in particular I'm thinking about. I say young, he's 30-something. He gets so caught up with Christianity being compared to paganism. If you went and invaded the town of Yom, say you invaded it, and you said, I don't like that tower. You Yomites, how would you say it? Humans? Yomites, whatever they are. I don't like your tower. It's got Yom written on it. So they decided, I'm going to just take that down, and I'm going to write in Butler. Well, when Christianity annihilated paganism in some of these buildings around the Constantinople time, what they did was said, well, you know, your church is, your building is there. It makes no point to destroy the building. We're going to turn it into a church. So some got statues of some idiot. It's not a real God, just some person there. So they made that guy Peter. Or they made this statue Paul. Or they made the statue this. We understand that the church is not a building, right? The church is a people. So this guy gets so caught up with that, well, I can't follow that. That's just paganism. That's just nonsense. No, that's one little instance in history where they basically recycled a building and turned it into a church. Once again, if you invaded Yom and the water tower's a bad idea, you said, I'm going to take over the Baptist church. Now it's going to be a Methodist church. Does that still make it a Baptist church? No, because the building is just a building. So we can't get hung up on that. What we need to get hung up on is that when you die, are you covered by the blood of Christ? And that's it. If you die, are you 100% sure you're covered by the blood of Christ? Because unless we're raptured today, we're all going to die. Absolutely going to die. I'm not trying to get too off subject. I think we're a lot closer to the rapture than what we were a few years ago. Either way, we're one day closer to it than yesterday. And I think about the funeral. I don't know if I said this or not. I repeat myself. Lazarus died, and it says the rich man died. I'm assuming very close together. Lazarus' funeral is probably the most crappiest funeral you've ever seen. just rolled in whatever cloth they could find. I don't know what their policy was back then with their government. Maybe they took his body and just threw it over the hill. Not sure. Now think about the rich man, what his funeral was. It was probably amazing. Everybody in the whole town came, dignitaries and everything. So nothing he did while he was alive, because he didn't accept Christ, mattered. Lazarus, who accepted Christ, went to the right spot. I get a chance to look at a lot of obituaries now because of my job. And it's funny, this one in particular stands out. It's like 4 pages long, like this. 4 pages. You wouldn't have to know anything about this woman to preach her funeral. You can just pick this up and look at it. And it screams pre-written. Every ounce of my being says that woman, when she got what she got, before she lost her mind, she decided, I'm going to write this. And she sat down and wrote down her entire obituary. But without Christ, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody says about you. Oh, he's a great man in the community. Oh, he did this, and he helped put this building together, and he always did that. You die without Christ, it doesn't matter what you got. You got hellfire for eternity. You got hellfire for eternity lost in your own thoughts. That's the saddest story I've ever heard. And that's something we deal with on a daily basis. People die without Christ every single day. I originally wrote down that there's probably millions and millions of people in hell. Hopefully it's just that. It might be a billion. I don't know. And some argue that hell, that there's more people praying in hell than there are on earth. Because they're screaming in agony in hellfire. God, no. God, I don't deserve this. God, I'm sorry. Unanswered prayers. I think God has the ability to listen, but he's probably just turned it off where he doesn't have to listen to it. Because they died not accepting what his son did for us. He sacrificed his son, a sinless, perfect being, for our sins. And then somebody is going to reject that? How do you think he's going to treat us when we reject what his son did for us? Knowing that we had to be covered by blood. Let's stand for a second. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, I feel in my heart, 99.9% sure, Father, that everybody in here is going to be with us in glory one day, Father. But Father, let us take your son's glory with us as we leave out of this building today, Father. Father, let us take it with us so we can bring one more person closer. One more person closer to accepting what your son did on the cross for us, Father. Let us be the salt. Let us be the light. Let people see your son's light oozing out of his father. Let them look at us and say, I want what that person has. And what we have is a guarantee that we're going to be standing with your son in glory one day, Father. And I say this in his son's name. Amen.